And peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord which engages us this morning comes from our gospel lesson, Matthew 20. Do you remember the first time that you started puzzling over this particular parable of Jesus, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard? I think I was probably in high school, starting to take my faith in Christ and the biblical narrative more seriously. I read this, or I heard it in church, I don't remember, and I went, "What?" I grew up on a farm working for my dad, who paid me and other farm workers by the hour, which seemed fair to me. We didn't all get paid the same amount by the hour. Our wages depended upon how much experience we had and how much dad could trust me and others with machinery and crops that cost thousands of dollars. My dad paid us what he thought we were worth. And our hourly wage difference was fairly narrow, probably just 75 cents to a dollar that separated all of us. It seemed fair. If my dad had gone out and hired other workers in the 11th hour of the day and then paid them the same amount that he paid me for working 12 hours, I'd have said, "That's not fair. What are you doing, Dad?" So when I first heard this parable and really pondered it, my reaction, perhaps like yours, was, "That's not fair. What are you doing here, Jesus? What are you talking about?" Most of Jesus' other parables seemed to make sense to me when I was in high school, at least once someone like my pastor explained them to me, but this one leaves us with a big, "What are you doing, Jesus?" Isaiah 55, Yahweh declares, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay, Lord, I needed to hear that one when I was younger, and still again when I'm older. When my thoughts differ from his thoughts, it's important for me to remember who is the creature and who is the creator. Forgive me, Lord, for my immature, Americanized cry of fairness, and teach us, again, what Jesus is saying in this parable. But even when approached with a more humble heart, this parable is still perplexing. Jesus' thoughts are still different and higher than our thoughts. Then we look at what Matthew surrounded this parable with, some parts of Matthew's gospel that we didn't hear in this morning's appointed reading. The sentences right before and right after this parable form a sandwich, an inclusio. Matthew asserts that Jesus said twice, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Jesus is leveling the playing field. Jeff Gibbs writes in his commentary about this, "All comparisons are odious. All believers will, by grace alone, inherit the same eternal life. Why is this so? It's because the reign of heaven in Jesus is so unexpected and shockingly unlike any other reality known in the world. It's because the reign of heaven is run on a principle of reward," and this is Gibbs's emphasis, "for Christ's sake, that looks like utter foolishness to sinful human creatures." But there's even more to this sandwich, a double sandwich, if you will. Just before Jesus uttered his oh-so-important phrase of the first being last and the last being first, we have the story of the rich young man who had come to Jesus and asked him, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus sensed the young man's dependence on his own works and tells him, "Go and sell all you have and come follow me." But the young man would not. And then just after Jesus' oh-so-important phrase mentioned a second time of the first last and the last first, we hear the foundation of this double sandwich. Jesus' third and final prediction of his passion and resurrection. He says, "Look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And they will hand him over to the Gentiles in order to mock and scourge and crucify, and on the third day, he will be raised." Isaiah 55, again, Yahweh declares, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In a sense, our immature cry about this parable not sounding fair is right. But it's not fair to the one speaking the parable. Christ Jesus gave his life as a ransom for you and for me, so that we don't have to pay the wages we deserve. Christ Jesus is risen from the dead so that we can eternally enjoy equally together with all those who have been equally redeemed. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, keep us ever mindful, especially those of us who are pastors, deaconesses, and other church workers, or those who aspire to those offices, that it is only by grace that we have been saved. Serving in the Lord's kingdom is a privilege and a labor of love, not something undertaken to gain a reward. The wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, who was delivered over to the Gentiles, mocked, flogged, and crucified, and on the third day raised again from the dead. Help us always to remember this parable rightly, that we need and depend on your kingdom, not the other way around. In Jesus' name, amen.